Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mō tonu tāna kupu ki a tātou. Please be more expensive. Our te rangapai tapu, the Holy Gospel, is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning at the 13th verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples, but also to a large crowd that has gathered. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide our father's inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Te rongapai tēnei a te ka aite. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe matitia e te kupu mana.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Fabulous singing today, by the way, everyone. Very, very nice. It's lovely when you're at the front doing some of that leading, and you can kind of just hear this wave of sound coming back towards you. It's awesome. It's really, really cool. I want to start, if I may, though, with a bit of a testimony. Is that all right? Well, if you'd said no, I've got the microphone now. Did we have a no at the back? Did we? Go for it. Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, I will. So. You might have noticed, or you might know, that I've ended up doing a bit more preaching around the parish, as you can imagine, in the last wee while. And one of the things I've become aware of is like preaching is like having a pool of water, a big well of water, and you're kind of dishing it out in the hope that it's going to water someone else's spiritual journey. And so what I've become aware of is that if I'm doing more preaching, I need more kind of flow of input going into the well, so as I'm giving out from the well. And I mean, you guys will relate to that. So I was telling, we've got these men's life groups, and I was talking to my Friday morning one, and I said, look, I'm become very aware of this. I think I just need to make sure that my spiritual practices and rhythms and inputs is kind of keeping out with what I'm outputting. And in fact, I think I probably need, I don't know, some new rhythms or some new ideas or some new tools or something like that, so that I can kind of just not get shallower and shallower, if you know what I mean. So, so I just put that out to the guys on the Friday, and then last Sunday I was down at St. Michael's and getting ready to take the service down there and preach, and Rosemary Hurd was with me, and a guy showed up at the door, and Rosemary went to see the guy, and she came back with this box. Actually, Jacob, I'm going to run out of hands here, mate. Can you come up and hold this for me? Cheers. So she came in with this box, and she goes, hey. I'll have my soundtrack going. She came in with this box, and she said, I think these might be for you. And I was like, oh, what happened? And she said, well, a young guy showed up at the door, and his mum had died, but he said, oh, my mum had these books, and I was just wondering if there was someone here who could use them. So, Ben, I think these are for you. And so I opened up the box, and it's a whole set of Tom Wright for Everyone, a whole commentary series on the New Testament. And I was just like, oh, freaky, God was listening. You can sit down with that now for the moment. And I was like, that's so cool. And I felt really like, oh, my goodness, God is aware of what I need. I just said it on Friday, and then on the Sunday, here we go. And it was also my birthday last week, and I kind of felt like it's God going, here you go. Bit of a birthday present for you, Ben. So I was quite stoked with that. Not so stoked that there was also a book in here called Aging with a Laugh and a Prayer. But anyway, the story's not finished yet. So I got to the Monday morning. What I tend to do is I tend to get up on a Monday morning and I look at the lectionary readings for the weekend ahead. I just kind of, it's like putting it on the stove for the week and just letting it kind of percolate through, you know. So I did the readings and I thought, oh, I can use my new commentary series. And so I went to the commentary series and I found the right books that covered the right today's readings. And I just opened it up and I read and I thought, oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, I definitely need to mention that. And then I thought, oh, I'm not going to go that direction. I want to take, you know, and I started bouncing again with creativity and a bit of inspiration from reading this and taking this on board and then this sending me off in a different direction. And so afterwards, I was just like, oh, that's so cool. And I prayed, and I put the book down, upside down, on my coffee table. And on the back of the book, there is a price tag that said this book was sold by the Anglican Resource Centre. And I used to be the manager of the Anglican Resource Centre, and its salesperson, and its cleaner. I was the only staff member. So I did it. You know, and I went, oh, my goodness. 25 years ago, I sold this set of commentaries to a woman that I have never met, and 25 years later, when I needed it, it's come back around and fallen into my lap. And I was just like, oh, that's crazy good. So I loved that. So that was cool. And it does bear some relevance to the sermon today, you'll be pleased to know, but you are also getting a nice mix of Tom Wright and Ben Johnson Frow. If it's heresy, it's Tom Wright, okay? So everything good that you hear, no. today's gospel reading is pretty simple, really, isn't it? If I was telling this story to a group of children, I'd tell it something like this. So there was a guy, wealthy guy, had a farm, had a big harvest. He had more than enough for what he needed. And he thought to himself, what do I do with this abundance of stuff that I have? And well, that's a good question. He's got some questions going on here. So he asked himself that question, and his answer is not Harold's answer. His answer is, I better build a barn, and then I can put it all in my barn, and I'll have extra for later. And so he does that. He builds a barn, and he puts all his stuff in the barn, and then the next year he has another great harvest, and he has more than enough for what he needs again. And he goes to him, and he thinks to himself, what am I going to do now? I know. I will build a bigger barn. So he tears down his barn. He builds another barn. He puts all his stuff in it, and then he's got more stuff for tomorrow. Then the next year, he has another big harvest. He again has more than enough what he needs. And he goes, oh no, I've got more than enough. What am I going to do? I know, I'll build a bigger barn. So he tears down the barn that he has, he builds a bigger barn, and then he dies. the end. When Brianna was four, my daughter, before she went off, we were part of a Christian play group, and she was going to go off to school, and they gave her a little book to take with her, and it was that parable. And I thought, that's an interesting story to give to a kid. I wonder if she'll get it. And so I thought, so I read it to her, and at the end I went, Brianna, do you kind of understand what Jesus is getting at here? And she goes, yeah, Dad, it's pretty simple. I mean, this guy had more than enough. He could have enjoyed it. He could have shared it. He could have given it away. But instead, he decided he was going to save it up for later, which was a bit silly because he died and he never got to enjoy it. And he never got to share it. Or he never got to give it away. And I was like, well, a four-year-old gets it. But Jesus isn't preaching it. This isn't a kid's sermon, is it? He's telling this to adults. And I was like, it's pretty simple. Why is he telling it to adults? Well, maybe it's because adults don't often get it. I remember at high school, I saw this survey, and the survey had two groups. One was a group of children, one was a group of adults. And they asked them the question, what are you most afraid of? Kids, their number one thing that they were afraid of was ghosts. And it's so cute, right? And we go, well, that's a bit silly, but it's so cute. The number one thing that adults were afraid of was not having enough. There is an anxiety that's hard baked into our culture, isn't it? It always says to us, no matter how much we have, always says to us, yeah, but you might not have enough in the future, so better just hold on to it. You know, we know that our life, as Jesus says, doesn't consist of the abundance of our possessions, and I think we genuinely all want to be generous, don't we? But we always have there's that little voice that says, sure, be generous. When you've got more than enough for yourself, then you can be generous. And of course, what we often discover is that how much is enough? When is enough enough? How do we know when we've got more than enough for what we need and we can give it away? Now this chapter, this parable is actually a gateway to a whole chapter where Jesus is talking really about anxiety. He says, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear or how you're going to find some inspiration for preaching or whether you'll have enough guitars, because God knows that you need these things. But seek first right way of being, and all these things will be added to you as well. There's kind of an invitation to a different way of living here, that when we discover, when we feel like we have more than enough, we're invited to go, rather than to build bigger barns, we're invited to build a longer table and invite more people to share in the goodness of God that we've experienced. But this kind of transformation doesn't just happen overnight. We live in the world always, and we don't just find that our minds, you know, we decide to follow Jesus and cool, we're all sorted now. We don't worry about anything. We just can just get on with it. There is a process, of course, called conversion, which is where we make that choice to follow Jesus. But then the church has a great word for this ongoing, lifelong transformation, and it's called sanctification. And in our Colossians reading today, Paul has this really nice imagery, I think, for how this process works. He says, you know, as you go through life, what you'll discover is that life is like a continual taking off of the old clothes, the old attitudes, the old habits, the things that no longer really work or apply, the old news, if you like, taking off the old clothing. I promise I'll stop there. Put on the new clothing. Be clothed in Christ.
Back in the day, when people got baptized,
they actually took off their old clothes, got dunked in the water, and came out and were given a robe just like this, a white robe to symbolize our life in Christ. It wasn't just for priests. It was for everyone. And there's this ongoing transformation that happens in our lives as we go, as we examine the things in our lives and we think, you know, whether it's anxiety or depression or fear or past hurt, injury, all those things. And hopefully as we journey with Christ, we think to ourselves, actually, I don't know if I need that anymore. I might take off that old garment because what I want to be is I want to be like Christ. I want to take Christ on. I want to be generous with what God has given me. I want to live at peace with those around me. I want to walk faithfully with Jesus. And I don't want you to hear that I'm downplaying things like anxiety. I hadn't experienced anxiety in my life until the last 18 months. And so now that I have, I'm like, that's a thing. But every time that I come up against it, I think to myself, I don't want to wear that. I'm going to take that off. I'm going to clothe myself in Christ again today. And then the next day. And then the next day. And then the next day as well. I want to finish today with I love it. It's a beautiful prayer, I think, from our Celtic liturgy that was actually introduced by Rosemary's husband, who's a priest, Neville Hurd. He introduced it. We use it a lot up at St. Andrew's or at our Thursday morning service. So I want us to finish with that in a moment, but if the worship team could just come up. Maybe we could stand as well. Why don't we stand as well? And I'll share this prayer in a moment, but what you might just like to do is just however you best open yourself up to an awareness of the presence of God with you now, whether it's closing your eyes, bowing your head, opening your hands, or maybe you place your hand on your heart, whatever it is. Today I'd like to invite us to maybe cast off some of that old clothing that we recognize just doesn't fit us anymore. It isn't useful for us. It doesn't help us live the way in which Jesus calls us to live. And as you feel yourself, or you can imagine yourself taking off that old clothing, things that you don't want to hold on to, I invite you to imagine being clothed in Christ. Imagine dressing yourself in a white robe, if you like, taking on the life of Christ in your life. You know, maybe you're here and you've never actually just gone, you know what, I actually really want to answer the call of God upon my life. I want to walk with Jesus. That experience. You can just say that to God quietly in your heart now. I want to know you, Lord, and walk with you. I want to cast off this old life and clothe myself in white. If anyone is found in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So this prayer, just before we sing. I rise up, clothed in the strength of Christ. I shall not be imprisoned, I shall not be harmed. I shall not be downtrodden. I shall not be left alone. I shall not be tainted. I shall not be overwhelmed. I'll go clothed in Christ's white garments. I'll go freed to weave Christ's patterns. I go loved to serve Christ's weakness. I go strengthened by the power of the Lord. I rise up clothed in the strength of Christ. I shall not be imprisoned. I shall not be harmed. I shall not be downtrodden. I shall not be left alone. I shall not be tainted. I shall not be overwhelmed. Instead, I go clothed in white Christ's white garments. I go free to weave Christ's patterns. I go loved to serve Christ's weakness. I go strengthened by the power of the Lord. If anyone would like prayer after the service, as part of responding, we do offer prayer at the end of every service. But otherwise, we can just respond now as we sing and as we accept God's invitation to come to the table this morning.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, ground his body lay, light of the world and dark was slain, and bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood. guilt and lie, no fear and no.